Isn't it great to be in the house of the Lord this morning? I need to do a little bit of announcement before I get started preaching. We are trying to get back to the best normal we can find at First Baptist. We have been asking you to sign up and make preparation to be here on Sunday mornings for social distancing and for the safety of who we all are. But that is not going to go away. We no longer need to sign up. The doors are open. But in the process of that, we're still going to recognize all social distancing, all the requirements taken. And so we have overflow rooms. We have two overflow rooms upstairs and one in this side. And in order for that to work, I need some volunteers. If our church becomes too full that Sunday, would you volunteer to sit in an overflow room for that day so we can continue to reach people our way, the best way we can? So I need a hand or two. If you'd be willing to sit in an overflow room as we open up our doors, you just let us know. Okay, I see right over here. Okay. Readers right here. Okay. Okay. Anyone else? Did you get Charles over here?
Yeah.
Charles, yeah. I'm sorry. In the back there? Okay. Right here, over here. Okay. Now, I ask you to do that because we do not want to make it uncomfortable. We want it to be a safe place, and we're going to do that. But it is awkward when you have sign-ups because sometimes sign up, it's full, and then the people sign up don't come. And then all of a sudden, we don't have all that we could have. So we're going to do away with that. We're going to do everything we can. And if we are going to overcrowd our room, we got some people who will go into the overflow rooms, and I appreciate you doing that. That enables us to keep reaching people and getting back to normal. We will check your temperature on the way in. And if you are a visitor, we need to know your name just in case there is a situation that may happen here and we need to notify people, we can notify you. So all of our visitors, our regulars and that, we got you down. But if we do ask you your name, we do that for your protection and our protection, okay? So that's kind of how we're going to govern that and move forward in a very special way. And Roxanne is going to go on vacation, and this is what I like about that. Roxanne's kind of like, I won't say kind of like me, but we think a lot when it comes to ministry. Let's do it that way. She's nothing like me. But anyway, aren't you glad, all right? So she's leaving on vacation after church today. She's got her car right out there, and the engine's running. She's ready to go.
No, I'm not.
But here's what I like about Roxanne. She could have just missed the whole day, but she's here to worship with us today. She made that choice. I thank you for that. And this is a special day for me because all of my children are here and family are here. And so I want to welcome you. You don't know this, but this is my birthday today. That's the reason why they're here. They don't respect me unless I'm having a birthday, all right? And so, so I thought I'd throw that in, make you all feel good about that over there, okay? But it is a joy to see my daughter Tanya, who we prayed for continually. Tanya, raise your hand. Tanya's right there, and she's been battling cancer for a long time and free of that, and so we pray. And her daughter Jennifer was stage 4 cancer when we got her from China, and she's free of that. Isn't it great to know how God's blessed the cancer in our house? All right? Yes, indeed. So we are thankful. Take your Bibles, and I want you to be at Luke chapter 18. We're going to go 18 through 30. If you follow that with me, we may be adding some scriptures in that as we go. The title of today's sermon is The Man Who Had Everything. The man that was positioned with all the blessings that you could ever dream of and desire in your life, but he couldn't pay a price for what he needed to do to get to heaven. So let me just help you to think about that. Can you imagine growing up when everything is on your plate? Man, it was a wonderful time for this privileged young man, and the reason why he was privileged is because he realized having everything, he was still missing something. So remember that thought. Having everything, he was still missing something. That's why he's privileged. The Bible is going to tell us that he was a rich man. He was a man that he needed nothing physically. It was his. The Bible tells us he was a ruler. He had prestige and fame. People followed him. He was a phenomenal young man. He was very valuable. But his privilege became his enemy. We'll talk about that in a few moments. His privileges became what took him down. Man, to gain the whole world, the Bible says, and lose your own soul, what do you have? To gain the whole world and lose your own soul. The reason why he was privileged in his fame, because he realized at a young age he was missing something. At a young age. Far too many of us live our life climbing that corporate ladder, climbing what we think is the best, and doing it just right. At the end of your life, when you get to the top of the ladder, you realize you was on the wrong ladder. You realize you got everything you wanted, but you're still missing something. He got that at a young age. That's a blessing, isn't it? How far too many young, senior men and women, if I had the privilege to lead to Jesus, because I asked them the question, you got everything you wanted, how's that working for you? And watch him cry. After I got it, I didn't want it no more. They spent their whole life. I did a funeral a week ago. Talked to a young man who was an airline pilot. He had everything in his 30s. And I asked him, how's it working for you? And he began to cry. He says, it's not nothing what I thought it'd be. I'm missing something. I got to share Jesus with that man. See, what's privileged about this young man, he realized at a young age something was missing. In America, the American dream is the godly curse. The rich, the picket fence, the White House, everything just right for your life. And if you don't have Jesus, the world says you're a success, but the Bible says we'll be a failure. So this man had everything going his way, but yet he couldn't fix his problem. His problem was he was lost. He was separated from God. And so he was trying to find his way. The false realities of our world today is, number one, called success. You know, the most successful people in the kingdom of God probably never recognized in the world they live in. Jeremiah is my hero as a prophet in the Old Testament. Preached his heart out. Preached his life out. Never seen one convert in his ministry. But he kept doing what the Father asked him to do. And they thought he was a failure and a crazy old man. And so, see, if we could just have a new car, a new house, and furniture, or get all the bills paid for, and have job security, the whole thing today is job security. If we could just have job security, man, we've got it going. But let me just remind you of this. There is no security in this world apart from God. None. I don't care what the government will offer you. I don't care what an employer will offer you. I don't care what the corporation will offer you. It can all fail pretty quick. There is no security apart from Christ. If you believe that, say amen. If you've been there and you have felt that and you found that, it was a shock, wasn't it? It was a shock that I had my whole life planned out and everything was guaranteed and I had enough seniority, I had all this, and all of a sudden it just ends. There is no security. The devil's a liar. There is no security apart from Christ. I must remember that. When I look at my retirement, when I look at my abilities, there is no security apart from God. Because when I think my security is in something besides God, that is an idol. And the Ten Commandments tells us that is the top ten. My security is in Jesus Christ and His righteousness plus nothing. So that is the joy of our life, learning that. And trusting God through it and all that can go on in our lives. What the young man lacked was he had a blessed life, but he had a lost soul. You know what I'm concerned about in this pandemic? All the lost souls outside of our church going to hell. Because we have been locked down and told what we can or can't do. I'm more concerned about spending eternity in hell. Boys and girls and men and women going to go to hell because where is the church in 2020? That bothers me. Last Thursday night, Christian was asking some Bible questions and giving away some gifts. There was someone there that never knew anything about Jesus. Completely blank. Living in Brandenburg, Kentucky. Didn't even know. She asked the simplest questions. many of them didn't know. My soul counts. You can have a blessed life and a lost soul, and you're in trouble. The Bible teaches us that we are a living soul. In Genesis chapter 2, I want to read verse 7. The Lord God formed man in the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. I'm more interested in souls than anything in my life. Man, when boys and girls and men and women come to know Jesus Christ, they've got the answer. They've got the power. They've got the spirit. They got a prayer life. They got home. They still have problems, but let me tell you something. I'm tired of telling God how big my problems are. It's about time for us to begin to tell our problems how big our God is. I'm not running from my problem because my God is bigger than my problem, and I live in problems every day of my life. But I somehow or another know that my God is King of Kings. Man, remember when God's children was about ready into the promised land? They sent out 12 spies to check out the promised land, and they come back. You know, 12 spies came, and their names are in the Bible. I don't even know their names, but I know there was two that I remember, Joshua and Caleb. You know why? They all said, man, there's big guys in there. There are giants in there. They'll kill us. We can't go. So Joshua and Caleb said, I believe our God's big enough to take that on. They didn't live by sight. They lived by God. I believe that my God's big enough to take that on. They voted yes, and the 10 voted no, and they didn't go. They kept walking around the mountain in the desert. Years later, when God took the people out of the desert, Caleb and Joshua rolled up their sleeves and taken on them giants, and they whooped them. And they were 80 years old when they got it done. But they could see victory. They didn't see the giant. That's what God does in living souls. That's when God breathes through us. That's when hell can't stop us. That's what God does. That's the factor. Let me read in Luke, in chapter 18, as he begins to work through all the things that happens in his life. I want to read in verse 18. Now a certain ruler asked him, saying, good teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? That is the biggest question that I believe the world asks. What shall I do to have eternal life? And let me just answer it real quick. There is nothing you can do to have eternal life. Nothing you can do. You got to trust to God to give it to you. What must I do to have eternal life? That was his question. That was his problem. Being rich, popular, leader, all of it. What must I do? He came, and he called him good teacher. So Jesus said to him, why do you call me good? No one is good but the one that is God. The Bible says there's none good, no, not one. Amen? People tell me all the time they're doing pretty good, and I just tell them none of us good. We're all just rotten. That's the reality of life. He said, no one but God. You know, that ruler didn't get that. He didn't see that. He didn't figure that out. See, let me just help you this. Far too many people are going to go to hell because they thought being good was good enough to get to heaven. And there's a lot of gangsters going to heaven because they found a Jesus that could take care of their problem. See, we kind of parallel that good and going to heaven. We go to a funeral. Boy, they were good. Man, they gave a lot of things. They did this. They did everything right. But the question is, were they born again? That's the question. See, some people say the preacher is good. Maybe because I'm a preacher, because I live a life in public. There is none good. God is good. God lives through us. He's it. But he asked the question, what must I do to be saved? Then he began to recognize in all that happened in his life, that he was missing something. Now, when he come to take care of that, and God began to bless his life, he helped him to understand there's a condition that you have put yourself in to receive Christ into your life. In verse 17 of that chapter, I want to go up just a verse. He said, surely I say unto you, Whosoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will by no means enter in. Now, as he begins to talk to Christ, and God says, surely this, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless he comes a little child. Now, here's the key. Why in the world, the reason why I say that it's so easy to lead children to Jesus, because you got to come as a little child. Now, here's the difference. A little child trusts you. A little child, you can tell them to jump, and they'll jump. Let them get bigger. I don't think so. You can't catch me. It may not happen. See, a child is trusting. A child doesn't ask those questions that we'd ask in life because we've been chipped and we've been hurt. See, a child just trusts the Father. Now, let me tell you something. Raising children, the greatest thing they can do is not have to go to sleep at night wondering if the Father's going to take care of them. Wonder if the Father's not going to feed them. What if the Father isn't going to provide for them? That would have to be a nightmare. Think about that. To be a child and not have a father that, even in the house, did not even have a father that's feeding you. Maybe, you know, not taking care of you. But the Bible says, I want you to come as a child that has a good father that you can trust. I hope Tanya and Jason didn't go to sleep at night wondering if Dad's going to be around to feed them tomorrow. I hope they didn't have that fear that we may not have clothes to wear to school. I hope they understood that this Father was going to take care of them. And so, see, you have to come as a child because a child just trusts totally. It's just wide open. Now, let me share this with you. The reason why I can trust my Heavenly Father. Now, connect the dot. Fathers, earthly. Fathers, heavenly. The earthly father is to provide for his family and trust them. And so one day when they hear about the heavenly father, they can trust the heavenly father because they learn the principle from the earthly father. And if fathers are not in that house, it hurts a lot more than we believe. But the reason why I can trust Jesus, he died for me. He shed his blood for my sins. See, I don't ever question God if he's going to take care of me. You know why? I trust him. He died for me. He died for you. He died for the world. He loves us. He wants us to follow him. He wants us to go into the kingdom of God and to challenge people and love them back and let them know that God took care of you in such a way you'll be a witness for him. You'll be light. You'll be salt. You'll wake up because God is what's good and nothing else is. That's it. He says you got to come as a child, this rich young ruler. We don't know his name. Isn't it amazing? We just know his position. I want you to know, when you're convinced that Jesus Christ died on a cross and rose the third day, if you believe that with all your heart, you confess that with your mouth as a child, trusting with no doubts. The Bible says you shall be born again. The Bible says at that moment, your soul has been saved. Your life has been changed. You now have a new purpose. You have a new power. It's the God power. It's all the difference that it makes in our life. Jesus at Calvary does it all. Now, Jesus is going to question this young man. Now, let me tell you something. How would you like to be talking to Jesus and let him begin to probe in your life a little bit? Now, that would be a scary thought. Let him just kind of ask you some questions. Okay, you think you're a good young man? Well, let's find out. Let's find out. You know how many people are going to go to hell and don't even expect it? Because they're good? Because they've helped people? Because they give somebody gifts at Christmas time? Felt good? Doing good things? Work hard? So Jesus is going to probe him. Jesus is kind, but he gets to the point. In verse 19. So Jesus said, why do you call me good? No one is good, but the one is God. Verse 20. You know the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not murder. Do not steal. Do not bear false witnesses. Honor thy father and thy mother. Let me share this with you. I'm going to do a series on 10 commandments. It's coming up. We're going to start studying Bible study on Sunday mornings. I'm going to preach in that. So he asked him about the commandments. The first five commandments pertain to God in our relationship. The last five pertains to us and one another, our brother. So the first five commandments, we get right with God. The next five commandments, we get right with one another. We don't love people by performance. We don't only love people who think like us. We don't love people who are politically correct like we are. We just love people who they are. And we don't love people because they think like us. Because we love people. You know why? Because God's love is bigger than that. No performance needed. That's who we are. That's our acid test. If we're really born again, the love of Christ kind of just sticks out of us. And we get hurt and we get broken, but we can forgive and love again. It changes everything. So he asks us these questions. So he asked him about the five commandments pertaining to his brethren. And this guy jumps up and says, I got them down. You know, I don't want to disagree with that guy. I don't know if anybody got those down, right? And now God didn't question that, but he says, I got that, man. I'm feeling good about this questioning. And then he said, all these things have I kept from my youth. I've been honoring these five commandments. Jesus didn't ask him how many times he broke one every once in a while. He just left that alone. He said, and Jesus, then when Jesus heard these things, he said to him, you but lack one thing. Sell all that you have and distribute to the poor. And you'll have treasures in heaven. And come follow me. That fella dropped his mouth. What do you mean? What do you mean? I got to give all my money away so I can be saved? I got to give all that up. I didn't have to do that to get saved. Did you? Did you have to sign on a dotted line? You had that, But I wasn't talking to Jesus either. Here's what Jesus is saying. You think you got this right? You have to give it all away because you got to come as a child. You got to trust me. You can't trust you. You can't trust your bank account. You can't trust your wife. You can't trust your husband. You can't trust your children. You must trust me. Come as a child. Totally trust me. See, Jesus knew his problem was his problem. The reason why his soul was lost, because he had everything in the world that had to offer him, and he wouldn't give it up for Jesus. He wouldn't give it up. He said, that ain't fair. And Jesus says, that's the commandments. You must be willing to give it up. See, Jesus knew his money owned him. He didn't own his money. That's the reason why it says on your dollar in God we trust, because 99% of the time we'll trust our dollar before we will God. That reminds us that. Aren't you glad that our forefathers had enough sense to put that there on every courthouse in God we trust, on our dollars in God we trust? Aren't you glad that's there? See, here's what he's asking him. If you're really going to be, if I'm going to be your father, you really got to trust me. And this young ruler walked away. He walked away. I've read this. Some theologians believe in the rich man and Lazarus, and down there in hell having this conversation, who the rich man was. A lot of people believe it was the rich young ruler. They believe it's him. Saying, Father, just a drop of water. Tell my brothers, get saved. Get saved. So see, Jesus is questioning him, trying to get him to see what it is. See, here's what I love about the Bible. Here's what I love about the Bible. The Bible will tell you where we are instead of where we think we are. See, sometimes we think that being good and going to church and putting money in the offering plate and doing things, we think that is enough. But the Bible says it isn't enough. You got to be willing to lay it down. Take up your cross and follow me. Joshua and Caleb, Shadrach, Meshach, if I die, I die. But God's still God. They were willing to go the way. They would really trust him. If God led him in the fire, he knew God would be in the fire. If God led you in a storm, he'd be in the storm. If he led you in a difficulty, he'd be in the difficulty. See, that's just trusting God. How much do you trust God? My favorite deacon back there gave me a little quote this morning. Is it Charles Branson? Charles Bronson. They were in this little tit-for-tat. This guy was getting ready to do something really big. Charles Bronson told that boy, he says, you believe in God? He said, yes, I do. He says, good thing, because you're going to need him here. Don't we need him here? Don't we need him here? Doesn't he change everything when he's here? See how that works? And so Jesus is trying to get him to understand. See, the Bible shows us exactly where we are. He asked him about his brothers, and he had it right. But when he got talking about the Savior, he missed it all because his Savior was possessions. His possessions, his Savior was fame. And the Bible began to help him. Let me point out that God is not a God of comfort, possessions, and selfishness. His God is a God of love that loves us through it. Now, I want to ask you today, are you 100% sure there is listening on the radio or TV? Are you 100% sure if you die, you go to heaven today? You got to know that. Let me tell you something. If you're not sure about that, you'll never do anything big for God because you're always questioning that. If you trust it, if you trust your Father on earth to take care of you, you won't have a problem with your Father. And if you trust God to take care of you, sometimes, let me share with you, the biggest curse in your life would to win the lottery. Why would you need a lottery when you got a God to promise to take care of you like the birds in the sky? He promised he'd never leave you or forsake you. So you want to scratch a card when you've got a cross in your life? Gambling is as addictive as crack cocaine. And you just think that, remember this, if you just think winning the lottery would make your life better, you don't know anything about the God who saved you. Because if the God who saved you wanted to make your life better, he could have put $1 million in your pocket, but he put the blood of his Son in your heart. That's who we trust. That's who we serve. That's who we bow down. The Father who gave us everything. If you believe with all of your heart, confess it with all of your mouth, you shall be saved. That's a free gift. See, you don't do salvation, you receive salvation. It's a gift from God. But the conditions are, you must not have nothing in your way that you trust more than God. You've got to come as a child, trust him for everything. Let me ask you something. Isn't that difficult to do? That is difficult. If you've got a crisis, if you've got a cancer, if you've got a child, if you've got a mate, if you've got a boss, if you've lost your job, and all those things are tore up, let me tell you something. Your God is more real than ever. If your God doesn't work in a storm, what good is he in a stormy day? Think about that. My God is real. He's real in my soul. For I can feel him and I know him. And the rich young ruler had it all. But he didn't have a saved soul. Now, let me give you an illustration. In the next chapter, in chapter 19, is a story about Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus was a gangster. He robbed people. He stole people. He took double taxes and sometimes four times more taxes. Everybody hated Zacchaeus. But Jesus came in town, and Zacchaeus climbed up in that tree to see Jesus. He's up there in that town. He's there. And the reason why he's there in that tree, because everybody saw him would punch him. He's a little guy. So he climbed a tree to have a safe place to see the Father. And when he's walking by, the Father looked up at Zacchaeus. He said, Zacchaeus, come on down. I'm going to your house today. And Zacchaeus said, nobody loves me in this town but God. Come on to my house. When Zacchaeus went to his house, in verse 6, so he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. But when he saw him, they were all murmuring, saying, he is gone to be a guest with a man who is a sinner. Jesus hanging out with sinners. Can you believe that? He hung out with me, and he hung out with you. See, we're all sinners. When you think some are bigger sinners than you, you're the biggest sinner in the room. Now, say that again. When you think there's more people, bigger sinners than you, you're the biggest sinner in the room. You have no right judging people's sin. We're not God. But we do. Then Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, 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 I have given half of my goods to the poor, and if I've taken anything from anyone false accusation, I restore fourfold. I like how Zacchaeus said that. He couldn't get it all. He says, if I ever did that. Everybody in town knew he did it. But if I ever did that, I'm going to pay him back fourfold. You know what Zacchaeus did? He took all of his security and he gave it away and he followed the Father. See what Zacchaeus did? He gave it all away. And Jesus says, today, Zacchaeus, you're my son. You're going to live forever. And Zacchaeus was the happiest guy in the world because what he had, his blessings, what he fought for, he gave it away. Because he knew that Jesus he stood in front of was greater than his possessions. And he gave it up. See why the rich young ruler? It seemed unfair that God would judge him so hard. But you cannot come to God unless you totally trust God. And you know what he was trusting? His money. Money isn't the root of all evil, but the love of money is. You got to have money. You got to have money to live on. But God will supply your money and his riches in our lives. So see, it all comes down to this. The day of salvation, Zacchaeus was told today. He said, today salvation has come to your house because he's the son of Abraham. I tell you what, I don't know how much Zacchaeus knew about Abraham, but he really liked Abraham. I am the son of Abraham. The blessings of all the blessings today. Now I want to close. Where is your soul at today? Do you have eternal life? Let me ask you a few questions. Let me probe you a little bit. Is being a good guy or a good person keeping you from heaven? Is being a good person keeping you from heaven? If you think you're going to heaven because you're good, there's none good. Is your love for things keeping you from heaven? Is your ignorance keeping us from heaven? Is our pride keeping us from heaven? I close with this illustration. It's pointed. I read this in 1983 to the congregation at Cove Baptist Church. Someone asked Dr. Livingston, who was a famous missionary in Africa, who sacrificed his whole life in Africa. He lost his wife, and he lost his health. And Dr. Livingston came home. Livingston answered, sacrifice? I've never made a sacrifice in my life. For the man who walks the Christian way, the world calls it hard. But beyond them all, and through it all, there is peace which the world cannot give. And there is joy that the world can't take. Because I ain't sacrificed nothing. I've got more peace in my life than I deserve. What would you pay for a truckload of peace? Sacrifice. It sacrificed nothing. I gave my life to Christ. And the peace the world can't steal. The joy is mine forever. There's no sacrifice. You know, let me close with this. I didn't say this in 1983, but I'll finish it up with this. I've never doubted this virus isn't real. I've been doubted for a moment. This virus is not to kill anybody it can. I've been doubted for a moment how destructive it is because I believe the devil sent it, and the devil's pretty good in what he does. Say amen to that. I've never doubted a moment. But here's what I doubted. The church. We've been a bunker for 5 months just in case. We've been locked down because we heard 2 million somebody going to die. It didn't happen. I haven't doubted the virus, but I pray that God don't doubt his church. He said, I commission his church to run the gates of hell. Can't stop it. If all we do is worry about us, and if you're here and you're weak and you're vulnerable, you need to stay away. You need to protect yourself. But if you have fear that's running your life, you need to stop it now, because the virus in our lives is out there. And if we're prone to that, be careful. But pay attention. My God will take care of those on the front line. Aren't you glad that our medical team was on the front line? Aren't you glad they served people with all the infections and all the stuff? Church, they said that we had to stop. And out of the sanctity and understanding, we do. But today, I am not concerned that the virus is real. I'm looking for the house of God to stand up and become real in the kingdom of God and show its forces and its strength. I'm looking for the heroes in the kingdom of God. If Shadrach and Meshach was afraid, they never got in the fiery furnace. If Joshua and Caleb was afraid, they had a father that could trust and take care of them. And we're bunkered down. This virus isn't going away. I don't believe it's going to go away for a long, long time. So what's the church is going to go less and less and less? Only 85% of our community came to church before the virus hit. We're down to 5. Where are we at? Where's the heroes? Where's the people with faith? Not just crazy faith, following the Father. Sharon, how many people have you written? How many people have you called? How many people have you thought about? You're just like that old ruler. You're just about you and your stuff and your life. Jesus gives lives and he takes life. Serve him while you can. That's the church. The virus is real. But today, what's questionable in my heart is the New Testament church. If you're afraid because of your illnesses and the pain of your life, you need to be. But ladies and gentlemen, there's a lot of healthy, strong Baptist, Methodist, Catholic, and Lutheran walking those streets every day that are afraid to go to church. And if you're sitting out there and you're afraid to go to church and you can walk out of your house every day and go to work, why is it worse in here? God, help us. The rich young ruler missed it because he didn't trust the Father. I'm not asking you to go knock on doors. I'm not asking you to shake hands. I'm not asking you to hug nobody. But I'm asking you to show up to your church and worship a God who's bigger than you. And Christians, if you're locked down in your house, let me share with you, we're the light of the world, and this world needs some light. Get out of your house. Walk down your neighborhood by yourself and wave at people. Tell them Jesus saves. Get out. I tell you, I believe it's so real. The devil had caused death, and he's caused fear to triple and cripple his kingdom. And today is the day where we got to say, God, forgive us. We needed to pay attention. We needed to do everything we can. But now we know how. We know how to social distance. We know how to protect ourselves. Now we know how. But can we begin to do God and trust the Father? Or are you afraid your Father may forsake you? Take up a cross. Deny you. If all you do is mess around with all that every day, it owns you. Read your Bible. Read about these apostles, how they died for Jesus. Learn from Livingston. Sacrifice. I didn't make no sacrifice. I got peace and joy that, man, I can't lose. Live your life with the Father protecting your life. Amen. And let's do something great for God. Let's just do something great for God. Here's what greatness is. Praying for one another. Loving one another. Get politics out of our church. And begin to love. I don't care if they're Republican or Democrat. I want you to get politics out of your church. And I want you to start loving one another. I want you to cross the aisles and care for people. I don't want you to look at them and say, well, they're probably this or they're probably that. Let me tell you something. The devil is so real with that virus, he infected our brains with nasty thinking. And he caused us to quit loving one another. caring for one another. That's how real a virus is. It don't stop with a death. It stops with discouragement. And he's discouraged the house of God. And if we don't wake up, America, where will we be from a year from now? I'm not worried about Wall Street. I'm not worried about General Motors. I'm not worried about the companies. I'm worried about the New Testament church and people going to hell because we're locked down. We've got to pay attention to the call of God. It's strong in our lives. Read your Bible. He always asked everyone, his disciples, everyone, his prophets, to go where it was frightening. And when they went, the Father took care of it. You must come as a child. And sacrifice, we don't even know how that goes. We are so spoiled that we stop for the first little problem. Well, 1983, Zacchaeus, thank God he made it. Rich young ruler, didn't make it. I want us to make it. I believe, here's what I believe. Maybe I believe and hope everybody in this room is born again. I hope that. I pray that so. But when we're born again, it's what we do outside these walls that makes a difference. It's what we do inside these walls. We fellowship. We love. We connect. We care. And I want us to take this world to Jesus. And I want you to do it on purpose. I want you to do it by providence. I want you to do it by the commands of God. And I want you to know the top 10 commandments. It doesn't say that you can break that commandment because there's a virus in town. You can't break that commandment because you're just mad. That's a commandment. You don't murder, you don't kill, you don't steal, and you don't miss church. That's the commandments. Isn't it amazing how we can just wash that away? Well, the legal people said we can't do that. Well, you just read about old Apostle Paul. They beat him up in jail 2 or 3 times. They threw him under the bus 3 or 4. But he says, for me and my Father, we're going to serve the Lord. And you do it through his church. Amen? Now, this is a great Memorial Day weekend. Labor Day weekend. So I want you to labor for the kingdom. Amen? We got a labor shortage today. Fields are white for harvest. And there's so few working at the harvest. We must. We will. Honor the God who is our Father. We're just his children. Let's stand to our feet.